From the Archdiocese of Mobile, Archangel Radio presents The Archbishop Show with our shepherd, Archbishop Thomas J. Rohde, and featuring the Director of the Office of Evangelization and Family Life, Patrick Ahrensberg. And now, your host, Patrick Ahrensberg.
Hello, welcome to The Archbishop Show. I'm Patrick Ahrensberg, Director of the Office for Evangelization and Family Life. Archbishop, hi.
Hi.
We're not quite used to the two-man
routine. Yeah, you almost forgot to introduce me. Thank you, Pat.
It is great to be here with you and with those who are listening, and we have a guest. We do have a guest, and I think we'll make people wait, let the anticipation build, and we'll start with a prayer, and then we'll introduce him, if that's okay.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Dear God, you call us to spread your good news and all the opportunities that we have. Truly be with us so that our words and our example may bring others closer to you. As we offer our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Well, Archbishop, it has been, to put it mildly, an interesting 10 months, 11 months with the pandemic.
That is to put it mildly. Yes, it's been a very painful time, very challenging time, a time of great difficulties. But at the same time, a time of opportunities as well.
And to that end, today our topic is going to be some of the exciting things that we're doing here in the Archdiocese in terms of communication. And so to that end, we have Mr. Rob Herbst, the editor of the Catholic Week in studio. Rob, thank you for being here.
Good to be with you all. Appreciate the invite.
So, Pat, since we have the editor of the Catholic Week, our excellent Archdiocese newspaper, I am presuming we're going to talk about printed media.
Not so fast, my friend.
Ah, okay.
So certainly that's part of it, but one of the things that happened, you know, when March came around and all the churches got shut down, Archbishop, there was an immediate need.
Wait, the churches were not shut
public
down.
The public celebration
of mass
was,
we still
suspended.
Had weddings and baptisms and confirmations and ordinations and anointing of the sick, but we didn't have public daily mass.
And we felt there was a real need for folks to be, especially in a time when there was so much fear and anxiety, and people wanted to turn to their faith, and it was hard to get to the churches. And so you decided, Archbishop, you wanted to do mass every day from your chapel in the cathedral rectory. And I'm very grateful to Dan Johnson, 4PM Media, for loaning us the equipment and the knowledge of, and taught us how to use it, so that
They were excellent. We couldn't have done it without them.
And so we had mass every day from the chapel, and there were a lot of hiccups. Rob, you and I had a lot of anxiety. We don't know what we're doing, but we got to do it. And okay, I'm supposed to push this button and that button, but I don't really know what I'm doing. I'm a trained monkey here. Go ahead.
Right. I mean, if we're being honest here, Archbishop Rohde was not working with a couple Steven Spielbergs here in terms of directing and everything like that. So your background's not in technology and video, nor is mine, but us and really like a lot of dioceses in the country, I mean, there are a lot of people that had to learn on the fly and how to use new forms of technology. And we did the actual live stream, the 8 a.m. Mass from the chapel from March 26th through May 17th. So basically 2 months of live stream masses. Most of them went well, just about all of them. Yeah, again, there were a few hiccups, but, you know, I think it was a blessing for those in the Archdiocese Mobile to see that presence.
You know, I have found that when time of crisis or struggle comes into our society, it doesn't so much change things as much as what has already been happening is accelerated overnight. So already the church was beginning to use electronic media and the different ways of electronic media, but just beginning to. But this pandemic forced us to accelerate these efforts, that all of a sudden we were
offering things electronically that we never would, or well, I shouldn't say we never would have. It would have taken us a lot longer to get to the point where we are now.
We wouldn't all be jumping on Zoom meetings right now had it not been for the pandemic.
I didn't know what a Zoom meeting was before the pandemic. Mm-hmm.
And before we go too far down that path, Archbishop, you know, kudos to your priests, because we weren't the only ones starting to live stream Mass. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were, it seems to me, I might be misspeaking, dozens of parishes who were streaming Mass. And, you know, some of the setups that these guys had were, you know, duct tape and bubble gum holding their stuff together to make it all work. But they made it work. It was a really impressive effort.
It was really well done. You know, were they the most professional ways to do things? Not necessarily, but we should never let the excellent become the enemy of the good. Mm-hmm. You know, if you wait until you can do something perfect, you'll never do it. So do the good that you can do. And the priests were doing a wonderful job, not only with putting Masses on electronic media, but other things, whether it was youth ministry meetings, whether it was scripture study courses. There were so many things that we had never done before electronically, or we had done very little before, and all of a sudden things were happening.
Yep. And I'll tell you, it's interesting when you go back and watch some of the Masses from that part of the pandemic, March through May, compared to now where so many of them are still doing it, so many have improved as well. I mean, they've taken the time to try and improve their product for their people, and it's really been impressive to see.
And so just to kind of recreate those days a little bit for us, we would be down here every morning about 7:30 to go set up. Mass would happen at 8, and there were five of us. It was Monsignor Skinecki, Father Ingalls, yourself, Archbishop, and then Rob and I, and you guys would rotate who was preaching, Archbishop. And then when the Mass ended, sometimes we would meet and talk about, because my gosh, things were changing quickly, and there were times you wanted to communicate with your flock, Archbishop, but normally you'd send out a pastoral letter or send a video to all the parishes. Those weren't options. We're sitting alone at 400 Government Street trying to figure out, how do we get the gospel to the people? How do we get the teaching of the church, what the diocese is trying to do? What are the parameters for how we can receive the Eucharist? What's the timeline? We didn't really have the levers well positioned and ready for that moment.
We didn't, but with a lot of help and a lot of effort, we have come a long way in availing ourselves of this new way of communicating. And, you know, it's not just the church. It's so many other areas of our society are using electronic communication now to a much greater extent than a year ago. And you gave the example of Zoom. Well, I think so many people become acquainted with Zoom and are using Zoom, whether it's family gatherings or business meetings or whatever. All of a sudden, you know, we've learned that different ways of communication are out there for us. And this is nothing new in the church. When a new technology comes along, the church needs to learn to use it. I mean, in the 1500s, the printing press came along, and all of a sudden the church was using this new technology called books to evangelize, to be able to print books about religious and spiritual matters. And believe me, that was an adjustment for the church. In studying that time in church history, that, well, how do we use this new technology to write a book and to have it printed? Right? But this new technology helped to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. And then in the turn of the last century, a new technology came about, radio. And boy, all of a sudden we have to figure out, well, how do we use radio to communicate the good news of Jesus Christ? And here we are more than 100 years later sitting using radio. But that was at one point a brand new technology that no one knew how to use for evangelization, for spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. And then in the 1940s, a new technology came called television. And how can we use television? And one of the great pioneers of that was Archbishop Sheen, Fulton Sheen, who trailblazed how television could be used to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. Well, my point in giving these examples is whenever technology changes, the church needs to look at, well, how can we use this as an instrument in the way that Jesus Christ would like us to go out and teach all the nations?
You're listening to the Archbishop Show on Archangel Radio, 1410 AM, 94.5 FM. Pat Arensberg here with Archbishop Brody, and we're so delighted to be joined with Rob Herbst here. You know, the thing that I was thinking as the Archbishop was talking about radio and television is that you couldn't take your approach in a book and just do that on the radio. It wouldn't work. So not only do you get the new platform, if you will, so we're going to go from the written book to the radio, but you then had to take the message and, okay, how can I make it work on the radio? And I was thinking that because, you know, we've done a lot of work on social media, especially you, over the last however many months. And when I write things that you're going to post on our social media, I'm aware that I have to do it in a much shorter version because that's what the people who consume that media, for lack of a better word, that's what they expect. That's what they're habituated to. So it's not just putting it on a new platform. It's figuring out, how do I get the truth, this message, but put it in a way that it fits on that medium?
Yep. And it doesn't only relate to the copy, what you're talking about, but we also need visual beauty too, because if we don't have something that looks beautiful on there, they're not going to read your words. People are just going to go off to wherever they are and not pay attention to that. So not only what we say, but how we look is also critically important in this.
The other day I was going to the hardware store, and I looked at myself as I was approaching the store, and I thought, oh my gosh, I cannot believe I'm going out in public like this. You know, just stained shorts, a ripped shirt, and I look awful. I just look awful, but I didn't notice it before. So I don't necessarily, maybe it's me being a guy, maybe it's just my own personal thing, but sometimes I don't see some of that beauty. Sometimes I don't see, I didn't notice, for example, that if you come to the Archdiocesan website at that time, last March, that every one of our offices had a website and we're doing good things and trying to get word out and make it something that would help people. But we each used a slightly different color scheme. And it didn't really jump out to me, but to young people who spend a lot of time on the internet, that's like, you know, fingernails. And if you're one of the young people, you won't get this image, but it's like fingernails on a blackboard to a young person for all of these different sites to not have a common element to them. I didn't see it.
Yeah. Just to use like a sports analogy, we're all on one team here. We should all be wearing the same uniform, Pat. So people going off in different directions, we just needed to come together a little bit more. And I think that was obvious this spring and summer.
Now, Archbishop, can we officially call that a football reference? It was a generic sports thing, but I think we can put that down as a football reference.
I'll give it half credit.
So one of the things, Rob, that the diocese has been working on per the direction of Archbishop Brody is to try to bring some commonality and some interchanging, better working together of all these different websites.
Yep. Now, if you go to mobarch.org, we're trying to get everybody, most everybody at least, on one platform. Education, they have their own website, Catholic Schools. But yeah, it's good to get everybody on the same page. So it's easier for people to find something that they need. They don't need to go to 10 different places wondering where something may be. So to be on one site, to be on that same page, I think it just makes the easier for the faithful of the Archdiocese of Mobile.
And even with my deficiencies of seeing things, I see the difference. I mean, I look at our website now and I go, oh, I see what they're talking about now. That flows better. That's more pleasing. I feel calm when I look at that screen, and that's not normal for me.
And it has a lot of information. I want to congratulate Rob, you and Pat, you and Andy Pitts,
who is Archdiocesan Director for Information Technology. Y'all have done a great job with the website. And it serves two purposes. It has information. And there is information. You want to know something about the schools, the parishes. You want to know about the financial policies of the archdiocese. You want to have the annual report of the archdiocese. But it also is about Jesus Christ. And so it has a lot about the good news of Jesus Christ on there too. And y'all have done an excellent job.
You know, to that point, Rob, that's, I think, one of my favorite things. In addition to the website, there's a lot of movement on social media. So we now have, I think, what the people in the tech world would say, a bigger footprint in the in social media, that we are doing things on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, and that there's more activity. And we meet once a month, and we spend time laying out what is going to be communicated from the diocese. And because there's that intentional forethought, and we're not just reacting to things, you know, we're talking about different saints and their lives. Mm-hmm. We're talking about St. Polycarp next month and his, you know, how that ties in to the Archdiocese of Mobile. So people see, oh, it's not just to tell me when Mass is. There's other things coming from the diocese that are really cool.
Yeah, I think Facebook has been important for us to be a great way to evangelize. You mentioned feast days of saints, you know, where we might not have another opportunity to provide that information. It's been good for that. And it's also been important to provide the practical information. You know, we talked about changes during COVID. Well, once there was something we were able to announce, you put it on Facebook and boom, 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 it spread like wildfire. So, you know, the social media there has been so important to announce Mass time changes, you know, any changes in regard to Holy Communion, whatever it may be. Facebook, Twitter, been so important for us in being able to get that message out from a evangelization standpoint as well as a practical standpoint.
Now, presume you're talking to somebody who doesn't spend a lot of time on social media. Where are some of the places where they can find the Archdiocese? What are some of the companies or platforms? And then what's our handle or address or whatever you would call it, so that I would know how to find and follow, or whatever you would call it, the Archdiocese?
So the Archdiocese Mobile basically has three primary platforms. One on Facebook, that's facebook.com/mobilearchdiocese. And there, again, you could see the information, whether it's some type of news release, information that needs to get out, as well as some evangelization posts that we have. And as well as, we also put our Mass for the Homebound on there every Sunday at 8 a.m. So people can go to facebook.com, Mobile Archdiocese, for all of that. And we're also on Instagram at Mobile Archdiocese. And those who don't use Instagram too much, it's more directed toward photos. And so if there's something in the Archdiocese we're able to take photos of, you know, we'll put a photo on there for that and be able to relay that to the people. And then twitter.com/thecatholicweek also has more information as well that you would see on Facebook. It's not as much a visual platform, but, you know, we'll put news and links and such like that on twitter.com/thecatholicweek. So we're on Facebook, facebook.com/mobilearchdiocese. It's our most popular platform. We've got about 6,000 followers there. And then instagram.com/mobilearchdiocese. And then twitter.com/thecatholicweek as well. And then, of course, Archbishop Brody has a couple of accounts as well.
Okay. So, and Archbishop, I know you tweet.
Yes.
I just wanted to say that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Yes, I post on Twitter.
Okay.
Yes. And I do, and also on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and again, to go back to what we have available, we do have the Mass, as Rob said. We do have the Mass. And for those who are not going to be able to watch it at 8 o'clock, it continues to be posted throughout throughout the week. It's there. And we have, during this year of the Eucharist in the parish, we have short explanations of the Mass. We have three, four, five-minute vignettes about the Eucharist and our belief in the Eucharist. We have many different offerings there.
So I would encourage people to go to our website and the other social media offerings that we have and browse.
You're listening to the Archbishop Show on Archangel Radio 94.5 FM, 1410 AM. Pat Ehrensberg here with Archbishop Rohde and Mr. Rob Herbst of the Catholic Week. So, Rob, a couple of questions. First is, can you talk a little bit about the importance of – so let's say I go to the Archdiocesan Twitter account or Instagram and I see something I like. What should I do?
Well, we encourage you to like it and also share it with the friends of yours or the people that you follow or retweet if you're on Twitter. Because we want that message to get out. And again, I mean, Archbishop Rohde mentions in a homily, if there's something you really like, you know, like a restaurant you like, you know, you tell everybody about it. So if there's something that you like that you see on social media, share it with the people. We would really appreciate that.
And I just want to reiterate how important that is, because if we have, you mentioned 6,000 followers, well, if 5,000 of those followers like a particular post, and they have 3,000 followers. Now, you've multiplied that by an astronomical number, and that's why liking and sharing are important. So when you see something from the Archdiocese, whether it's from the conference series or the youth ministry office or the Catholic schools, share it, like it, you know, depending on the platform, and that multiplies just like wildfire.
Yep. You would be shocked sometimes at how quick something can spread on social media. We had a photo one time from event in the Archdiocese of Mobile, and it got a lot of it ended up getting like 1 million likes for whatever reason, this one photo that we had. So you'd be surprised just how
Many people are watching or on the social media.
In regard to the mass that
we have? No, but how many people will watch something just because that someone liked it or retweeted it or shared it. And these are the ways that we can participate in the ministry of Jesus Christ in getting his message out, because you never know who's reading it.
Yes.
And how God will use this post on Twitter or this post on Facebook or this post on whatever to touch someone's heart. Because it's never us. It's always what God is doing with it.
It's funny to think that clicking the like button can be an act of evangelization. That is an act of evangelization.
And it is. It is to get the word out. And so that's a ministry that our listeners can be involved in. If you see something that you like, share it.
And if there's something that's on, I do more on Facebook than anything else. If I see a video being shared, I don't see who it's shared by at first. I mean, you're scrolling through, you see something that catches your eye. I'll look and see who shared it before I watch it. I'm serious, because I don't want to waste my time. So I know if Rob Herbst shared it, it's worth watching. Archbishop Rohde, it's worth watching. And so I mention that because maybe we should be careful about the kinds of things that we share and what our, for lack of a better word, a personality is on these platforms, because we can eliminate ourselves from anybody wanting to follow or recommend, you know, if we like something like, oh, I don't want to watch that, you know?
Right. Very much so. So, but yeah, I mean, again, please share anything, you know, if there's something you like. I mean, it would really help us. It would help get the word out, help spread the word of Jesus. So very important to us.
Rob, I'd like to spend a couple minutes talking about the Catholic Week, because we've been talking about all this social media, but I think that what kind of pulls it all together is the Catholic Week. I mean, I think it's very much a medium that's very important. If you'd like to talk a little bit about the interplay of all these media platforms with the old-fashioned newspaper.
Yeah, well, Facebook is important for the Catholic Week because we could put, let's say, 75 photos on Facebook from the ordination each year. Well, we can't put 75 photos in the paper. So, you know, that Facebook page that we have is really an extension of the Catholic Week. And again, you know, then people see it on Facebook, then they'll also go to the Catholic Week to see what's in there, you know, the so-called best photos that we put up there or whatever. So, You know, but the Catholic Week is still, goes into about 22,000 homes every other week. And, you know, obviously there are a lot of people that aren't on social media, but, you know, they get the Catholic Week. And so, you know, it's still our bread and butter, but, you know, we like to use social media as an extension of the Catholic Week.
People are definitely reading it. I go into to parishes, people comment on what I wrote. I'll get emails. My last column, I talked about striving for holiness. Mm-hmm. And the number of people who emailed in and said, yeah, we're going to do that too, or suggested books for me to read. It's still very, very much part of the integrated communication from the diocese.
You've got your groupies now, I guess. And, you know, it's interesting that Archbishop mentioned it. You don't know who you're going to affect by something that you write or put in the paper because, you know, there have been times when I think we've put in something, you know, I didn't think it was anything important to anybody, but still— And you get a call about it or an email about it saying, appreciate that. And, you know, it can be touching that way.
You know, and I was just saying, with whether it's a newspaper, electronic media, whatever, it is our way of bringing the good news of Jesus Christ to others, but then inviting people now come and be a part of God's family. You know, the electronic media or the printed media can never be a substitute for personal presence. That's still the final word, is that we come together. But in this country, especially right now with the pandemic, but even when this pandemic, praise God, one day will be over, the electronic communication is going to be very important. And I think it's going to be at a level of importance that we have not experienced yet.
Absolutely. Archbishop, thank you for leading the Archdiocese into the 21st century with all of these things. I think it's, please God, it'll bear fruit and save souls. Could you give us a blessing before?
Well, may the blessing of God be upon each of you and your loved ones to bless you and protect you, especially protect you from the COVID-19 virus. May God's blessing be upon you, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Until next time.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to The Archbishop Show with our shepherd, Archbishop Thomas J. Rohde, as well as Pat Ahrensberg, the Director of the Office of Evangelization and Family Life. And now, stay tuned for more solid Catholic programming on Archangel Radio.